Though.
Well, I know that one, Ralph.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jets Rewind. I'm Marty Shupak in New York. Ray Clifford is in Ohio, and Ralph Schrager is in Austin, Texas.
That's right. My policy is, since I'm from Boston, I only visit towns that rhyme with Boston. So I need some suggestions because I can't come up with any others except Austin.
And I'll just make a quick announcement. Ralph is looking for a Jets bar around the Austin, Texas vicinity. If any of you fans know of one, please send me an email. My email is greenrewind@gmail.com. That's greenrewind@gmail.com. And we're looking for a Jets bar around Austin, Texas. All right, Ralph, the Jets play the Chargers. How you doing, Ray, by the way?
Doing good. Just glad we got back to a little bit of fall this year. It's been a brief one, and so it was getting pretty cold there for a bit, but the last couple of days have been nice. So ready for some football.
We've had our share of rain. So the Jets play the LA Chargers, which I'll never get right. They'll always
Let me
be.
give the trivia question, Marty.
Yeah, we do. And Ralph has a trivia question. I'm guessing it's Charger related. Is that a good guess?
What?
Huh?
Bring her in. Sorry. So they're playing the Chargers, who they've had a lousy record against all of their history, but they're 2-0 against them in the postseason. So my question is, name the team that the Jets have played more in postseason than any other team. I'll give you a hint, they played them 4 times.
Okay. Postseason games. I'm writing it down. And it's there's no hints, right?
Oh, they played him 4 times.
That was the
Yeah, I'm just gonna guess. You don't have to indicate. I'm gonna
hint.
guess it's an AFC team.
That's
So
correct.
it's correct.
Yeah,
Okay.
well, that would make
That
sense.
includes AFL, right? Or, well, there was no
Yeah,
playoffs, right? Yeah.
it
Yeah,
does.
there was.
Yeah, it does. All right. Okay, that's a great question, Ralph, as usual. And I got my money on Ray because he usually gets a lot faster than me. But the Jets play the Chargers Monday night. It's gonna be a terrific night. I hear there's gonna be so many tailgating parties out in MetLife Stadium. I keep hearing about them. But just going back, I've never heard from so many fans than this past week about how negative I am on Zach Wilson, which is what we're going to discuss first. And a lot of them brought out great points. I want to do two shout outs. Excuse me. One is to John Graham. He's in Dalton, Massachusetts. He sent me a nice article, and he says that we kind of took the air out of the wind. And John, we didn't mean to do that. And the second is, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce his name right. He's written to me a number of times. Richard Santomoro. He's a veteran, by the way. I think he might be in Las Vegas. He sent me a video, which I shared with you guys, which brought out some great points. And, it's funny because watching that, and I was thinking about it, watching that and seeing the drops from Lazard and even Breece Hall, you would say, it wasn't awful. Plus, with the pressure he's getting. But you know what, Ray? And then I start thinking about it, but I see the pressure like a quarterback like Sam Howell gets with the Commanders and the numbers he puts up. So I guess my first question, as we're going to get into this, have we been fair to Zach Wilson? Is he playing better than we actually see?
No, I don't think he's playing better. I think where you got to separate it is, we aren't saying he's not better than last year, but he's not. I mean, he hasn't made leaps and bounds. He's taken some baby steps and gotten improved on certain things, and I would say a lot of that is because of Aaron Rodgers being there. You can see some of his play action and stuff, like they showed in the video you posted, that where he's that's coming, that's some learning probably from Aaron talking to him, and he's better in the pocket, but he still has a tendency to do things that just drive Jet fans and us crazy, which is hold on to the ball too long, take sacks that he shouldn't take, miss guys who are wide open. Now, you can blame a bit of it on the weather, possibly in this last game on like the throw to Breece out of the backfield. And he's, you know, he's definitely had some guys drop some passes that even if they weren't perfect, they were very catchable. Lazard this last game, but it's happened in other games too. So, and the line is not great, but there are things he can do to lessen what's going on. And I don't think we're being unfair. I think, as a matter of fact, we were calling people out for being overly harsh on him there a few weeks back. And then it seemed like everybody was saying, let's back off a little bit. He's still young. He's still learning. I mean, it got brutal there for a while, but I don't think we're being unfair to him at all.
Ralph, is it the fact that he'll make some passes like he did to Garrett Wilson, but then he'll make an egregious error or faux pas, like on the fourth down, getting a 10-yard sack? What is it?
Well, he still makes mistakes. All quarterbacks do, and I think he's making less. You know, people were annoyed when he dirted that ball to Breece Hall, but he hasn't done very much of that this year. Last year, every game he was doing that three or four times. So, yeah, like Ray said, there's improvement, incremental improvement. The way I look at the whole Wilson controversy is that his supporters, I think, overrate him, and I think his detractors are way too hard on him. I think the answer is somewhere in between. It's the Jets are showing a lot of patience with him. A lot of teams would have dumped him by this time. Now we'll see if it bears any fruit in the end. But I think it's a systemic thing as well as his thing. I mean, let's be honest. If Wilson had been drafted by Kansas City or San Francisco and he played under Andy Reid or Shanahan for 3 years, I think he'd be more developed than he is now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I sure would.
Yeah, but then again, you'd have to compare apples to apples because I think they might have sat him the first year.
Whatever, they would have handled it better. You know, the Jets decided to hire a defensive guy in Salah, and he's delivered defensively. They have a very good defense, and I'm sure a lot of that is him and also Joe Douglas getting some really good players. But Salah doesn't – he's not good. He doesn't have a good offensive mind. We've had two mediocre offensive coordinators and an offensive line, which I heard Lavernius Coles the other day describe as wet toilet paper. But there's some of it's on Wilson too. It is a systemic thing, and things have got to get better all around. Yeah, Marty, you can get a little crazy about Zach Wilson, but and as far as the last game goes, you know, the funny thing is every commenter, Jet fan I read right after that game was really negative. It was like it left a bad taste in your mouth. And I think as the week went on, and I just kept watching those final 5 minutes of the game, it became more enjoyable. But it was tough at first because it really was an ugly win. But in the NFL, there's no style points, so we really shouldn't be upset about it because this week they could play a terrific game, you know. It doesn't really carry over from week to week. The opponent's different. The conditions are different. So, you know, I guess you got to take the wins, Marty. Like you said, we don't get many of them over the years. Like that.
We'll take the wins. And I compared it. I was on the phone with our listener, Rob August, and I said, look, the improvement I see is baby steps. Now, this is before I watched the All-22. And I said, it's like putting a 500-pound man on a diet for a year, and then you put him on the scale, and he's down to like 495. I mean, he improved, but the improvement is just so small. Now, you know, and I hate to keep comparing him, but the reason I mentioned Sam Howell, you know, he's on pace to break the record for the most sacks in the year by quarterback, I guess, Carr.
David Carr. Yeah.
David Carr. And I was just looking at the stats, and I don't want this to get into a Sam Howell versus Zach Wilson show, but just quickly, if I could do it, Zach has a 58% completion, Sam Howell 67 yards, Zach has 1,337, Howell has 2,146 TDs and interceptions, Howell has 13 TDs, 8 interceptions. Zach has 5 TDs, 5 interceptions. Quarterback rating, Sam Howell, 90.1. Zach, 74.3. So a guy that has just as bad or maybe worse offensive line is putting up these kind of numbers. And I just don't get it. Go ahead, Ralph.
I mean, I get frustrated too, so looking at these borderline quarterbacks who are, I get better numbers than him. But another thing that bothers me about the Jets is you know, you watch these end zone shots on replay with Wilson running around, and you watch the receivers, and they're all like totally covered. And there's something about the passing scheme that's not working right. And, you know, I see like that middle wide open, all of the receivers are down the field and they're all being marked, as you would say in soccer. So, there are times where he just doesn't have any place to throw. He's getting back into that bad habit of like running backwards though, when that happens, which he's got to stop. They have to catch that right now.
Right.
And your buddy Becton didn't help him very much. What's his name? Thibodeau was running around him like he was a turnstile the last week.
But by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I just want to, because I went back looking at the film, and I had said that Dexter Lawrence after the first quarter wasn't as effective, but that guy was awesome all game.
He was strong. He had a
very good game. 15 pressures.
Yeah.
The guy was phenomenal.
No, look, he was going up against eighth string guys off the street.
I know. And also, he had a lot of guts going in there, Xavier Newman, but on one of the plays, Lawrence just pushed him right back.
Well, ironically, the last play when he beat Xavier Newman and forced Zach to roll to his right, that probably made the play because he threw that nice pass to Lazard.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to say, Marty, is I'm bringing up Zach's college career, and people, you know, have this false narrative that he never played against anyone. That was his junior year, his final year. His sophomore year, if you look back at the Tennessee game at Tennessee, 100,000 people there, they were down 16-13. They had the ball at about their own 20 with about 30 seconds left. He hits a 60-yard pass. They kick a field goal, and then he throws a touchdown in the overtime to win. And he almost brought them back in an incredible drive against Coastal Carolina, too. My point is that I feel like he functions better when things are rushing. It doesn't give him a chance to overthink. And you could see it the other day in the Jet game. And Sal has been saying that he's been really good in the two-minute offense in practice. And I know you don't want to do it all the time, but they have got to play some hurry-up offense occasionally when things are going three and out, change it up.
We've been saying that for a draft. All three of us have been saying that for 2 years.
I know. And but if we keep saying it, maybe they'll catch our broadcast one day.
I don't get it. It's just so obvious to me. You don't want to burn them out. Ray, we're going to move on, but quickly, am I doing a lousy comparison with the Sam Howell who's putting up better numbers with a same or weaker offensive line?
Well, first, I don't know that I haven't looked at Washington enough to know if their offensive line is actually like ours. But, the hard part is you're comparing a different offense, and that makes a big difference, the scheme, how they run it.
Yeah, and also how much they're letting them do.
Right. Washington has always, with their receivers, pushed the ball down the field. As far as, you know, and I just want to say, as far as some of the other things, I mean, that bar we were giddy over the Jets win, but when we come on here, we aren't just coming
right.
on.
No, cheer. Yeah.
You know, we're analyzing the game, and that was a horrid game to watch. It was
everyone said it. Every person on TV and radio.
I love that we won. I mean, it would have been 10 times worse, 100 times worse to come in here after that game if we had lost like we were probably supposed to. But right. So, I'm not going to come in here and, do backflips because we won an ugly game. I'm happy as hell. And I know it's exciting as hell how we won it, but I'm still going to, just like with Zach, I'm going to call what I see, but I'm not going to try and go overboard on any of it. I'm going to fair and on the money.
Well, one more thing. Yeah. Marty, I want to mention, Ray, every game we're yelling, throw the damn ball down the field. And it took them till overtime to do it. And what had happened? They won the game because of that. You know, I mean, when are they going to start opening this up a little early in the game?
Right.
These cornerbacks are all over the receivers because they're not fearing it, you know?
Right.
Well, we really hope that San Diego goes into prevent defense in the first quarter.
Really.
And officially, I want to tell all our listeners, Ray, Ralph, and Marty, we're ecstatic that the Jets won. We don't want to be negative nannies. We love this team. We bleed green, but we try to be objective also. And the other thing is, guys, if you see, there's a few things changing where the Jets were always like the unlucky team. If you look at the last couple of games, it's like one or two plays just changed the whole outcome. I mean, think about it. If Tony Adams doesn't make that interception, if Zach Wilson doesn't get up to the line of scrimmage with 1 second to go to spike it, the whole season is completely different.
Thibodeau doesn't jump off sides on the play before, it would stop the clock at midfield.
You can count so many plays. If Alan Lazard takes one more step, they're done, you know.
but that's my point. It's right. Just seems things are shifting a little.
Well, losses, they're shifting a little. Remember, Cobb almost caught the Hail Mary at the end of the New England game and things like that that almost went. Right. If we'd just not gotten those cheap penalties against Kansas City, you know.
Well, my theory about the NFL is you got a few elite teams, you got a few horrible teams, and all the rest are in the middle. And whoever is the ones that make the playoffs are the ones who get those plays, those bounces. Like last year, the Giants were winning all those close games. And I was thinking, Minnesota. Fool's gold. Minnesota, too, every week. And look what happens. You know, so maybe this is a Jet year. Who knows?
Well, I've always told you guys and told all my friends and family, and especially Michael Shupak, that 20-21 year run the Patriots had with Brady, I've never seen the stars all in line, everything happening. And I know Brady is the best ever, but it's a combination of him and everything happened for the way it happened. You could have a litany list of everything that going on, starting with the Tuck rule from there on. It was unbelievable. And maybe this is starting back on last year's Cleveland game. Maybe this is really, it's starting to happen. And I just want to throw one in, not on the agenda, but I want to ask you both, is Robert Saleh closer to becoming an excellent coach or closer to getting fired? I'm going to start with Ralph.
If I had to choose one, I'd say an excellent coach. Despite the fact that we want him fired in every game in the middle of the game. <We're texting. laughs>
Marty would be changing coaches like mid first quarter.
I would every game. Ray, what's your feeling?
I mean, I don't know on the excellent coach part, but I thought after Rodgers went that this could be a really ugly season, and here we are at 4-3, and I just think that I think he's improving. I don't know about excellent, but he's becoming a solid coach, and we'll see if he keeps improving. He could turn into an excellent coach. As long as he keeps the guys playing for him, I think he has a chance to be a good coach.
Yeah, and you know, on 2 Minute Tuesday, I don't know if you guys heard it, but I had said, if with Robert Saleh as coach, do not turn the TV off and do not leave the stadium.
A lot of people did it the other day.
Boy, did they.
I was very close.
And Ralph, I think, turned off the Cleveland game last year.
I did.
Ray did.
Ralph called me after the bomb touchdown that made it a one-score game.
Yeah. But the point is, say what you want about some incredible untimely penalties with Clemens, Jermaine Johnson, and all this, but this team plays hard for this coach from beginning to end. And except for the Dallas game, where it wasn't really much of a game, they've been in almost every game, I guess, of the season. So I want to give him kudos. And I'm the guy that has him fired about 10 times every game. I admit it. because that's my knee-jerk reaction.
And you have Zach Wilson bench. There are five
all the time. When we get to
that's the... just venting. We understand that. You're talking about the penalties, Marty. You know, and this whole nonsense about the Jets never getting a roughing call on their quarterback, and you hear people say, well, you know, Mahomes and Burrow, those guys, they're the elites, so they get protected. Well, guess what? Tommy DeVito got one called on him the other day too. So how does poor Zach Wilson feel? And he gets killed in
the process. Getting killed. And again, I want to reiterate, as negative as I could sound on Zach Wilson, I never questioned this guy's toughness, even though his face looks like he's a 7-year-old, younger than some of my grandkids. This guy, to me, is as tough as they come. He just gets up. And case in point, there was that one play where he scrambled, and he just threw his body head first, remember, up the right sideline, trying to get extra yardage, which he didn't. So, listen.
He got crushed on that throw to, was it Lazard on the sideline?
No, it was
off to the right, or was that Wilson?
There was Wilson. That was Jason Pinnock who gave it to him.
Crushed him as he threw and got it there.
Yeah, so, you know, Ralph, what I want to say, this is about you, Ray, is that over the years, I would keep calling Ray up and saying, oh, my God, Tom Brady, did you see that play? And Ray would say, Marty, he sits back there in the pocket. Nobody touches him. And I think that's what you want to see with Zach at some point. Get this stinking offensive line together. Go ahead, Ray. You're going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Yeah. Well, and that's just it. And I always said, if you want to bother Brady, you got to get guys who can come up, pressure him right up the middle, not from the side. He never got rattled by anybody. He had the clock in his head. He'd move around in the pocket perfectly on guys on the outside. But if they were coming up the middle in his face, that was a whole different story. That's in the Super Bowl when you saw him. Some of his worst throws were when the guys came right up in his face, straight ahead.
That's right. All right. The season, we're 7 games into the season. I'm going to start with Ralph. Ralph, who would be the most disappointing Jet you think so far?
For me, I hate to say this because I was so excited when they drafted him, but I'm a little disappointed in Will McDonald. He's made 2 really good plays this year. He recovered the fumble and he jumped over the guy to rattle Gano. But I haven't seen anything as far as pass rushing goes from him, and I thought we'd see a little more by now.
Raph, I just want to mention, because I looked at the All-22 earlier fairly close. He made a really nice play and a running play that they pointed out to.
Yeah,
but I
random plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. He hasn't been what we thought. Okay, Ray, what about you?
Yeah, as far as Clemens, I think he's still got to gain a little weight and just learn how to shit.
McDonald, you mean?
McDonald, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to learn. Now, Clemens.
Occasionally, he could, you know.
Yeah, I know. He could. But, you know, plus he's getting limited action. So he's
right. Not, I mean, I'm giving up on him by
any means. No way. No way. I think there's a lot of potential there. But once I saw him around the other guys, I'm like, he's not really big. He's got he's got to get a little weight on him. And keep the agility. But for me, it is Clemens. I think I expected a little more out of him on the defensive line. I think he needs to quit with the Negan thing and getting everybody from the – Negan was the bat when he came in to walk in on training camp. And just be himself and, you know, make plays. I think he's got a ton of potential, but I think – it's all him that has to kind of change his thinking and go after it. I mean, I'm disappointed in him so far.
Yeah, it could be a sophomore slump,
a little bit,
so to speak. You know, it's funny, Ray. I wrote 2 names down, and one of them was Clemens, thinking that one of you guys would pick him. And I'm going to tell you a guy who I really like, and it's really not 100% his fault, but he's got to make the most out of everything thrown to him. Tyler Conklin, I'm a little disappointed in him. I thought he would be almost on the verge of having a huge breakout season. He's dropped too many balls. When he has the ball, he shows a real gumption for carrying players. But I really thought he'd be doing better. And again, it's not 100% his fault. I want Zach to get him the ball more. So that's my pick. And I just want to jump down to Ralph. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, Conklin, I feel like if they can get him the ball more, he'd be really good. You know, you always wonder who he basically throws to Garrett Wilson, but he's looking at him like 80% of the time. You know, his first year he was looking at Corey Davis 80% of the time. He's got to see the more of the field. You know, that's, you know, he does lock in. I mean,
of course, you know, they got to hold on to it too. I think he'd throw to Lazard more, but if he's going to keep dropping more of the passes than he catches, then he's going to start.
Lazard's been a trick or treat player this year.
Yeah.
Right.
He disappointed me more than Conklin, I think.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Corey Davis, because there's been a lot of chatter with the Jets. They weakened the wide receiver room about having him come back. Ray, do you see a huge difference between Corey Davis and Alan Lazard at this point?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Why, Brad? I don't think we're hurting that bad that we need him back. I think if anything, we need a guy like, you know, we used to use Berrios or somebody like that, that we aren't getting the short passing game going like we were before. And we're mainly using the guy out of the backfield, little screens. We need somebody who can do the little stuff a little more, and maybe Gibson has to be more involved. I don't know, but somebody, and then that might help loosen up the deeper ones too.
I think Salah said that, you know, I think that Gibson is who they consider the guy for that job, but he says that he needs to learn the route running better from the slot. So, you know, I always hear these Jet fans wanting to get Hunter Renfro from the Raiders. I'm sure the Raiders are going to have a fire sale pretty soon. But I don't know if he's the answer. I feel like if they invest in a receiver, would be a waste, because Wilson's so fixated on Garrett. I mean, he doesn't take advantage of the rest of the receivers.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm glad that they're doing is they're trying to get the ball more to Breece Hall and passing, because you get that guy the ball with any space, and you know he could be gone at any
second. We saw it last week.
Yeah.
And Rabbit, it looked like nothing, too, if you really look at that.
No, it was. You watch that play over again. He just – I don't know how he does it. He
did it on his own. Moves. It was incredible.
Yeah, he just makes these little moves, and all of a sudden he's free. And he's faster than he looks.
Give you Zama credit. He had a block. But when you see where he blocked, there was such a small space to get in between him, and he did it, too, which was great. Ralph, any thoughts on Corey Davis, or you think it's a waste?
I do think they're very similar. I think the reason to get Corey Davis may be for depth at this point, if something happens, say, to Lazard. You know, I think they do probably need another receiver. Maybe they're going to try Malik Taylor, because he's got some experience, unlike Brownlee and Urban Charles. So we'll see. He looked pretty good in preseason.
Yeah. I want to just go through the last 10 games, and I'm going to go through the schedule quickly, and then I want you guys, we're all going to figure out what we think the record's going to be. So here we go. They are home against the Chargers. They're at the Las Vegas Raiders, at Buffalo, home against Miami, home against the Falcons, home against the Texans, at Miami, home against the Washington Commanders, at the Cleveland Browns. Ralph, do we play them every year now? It's just
them in Denver every year.
It's unbelievable. And then we end up at New England Patriots, I guess the last game of the year. I don't even see a date for that, week 18. So those 10 games, I want to start with Ralph. What do you think the record would be? And let me know.
I think they'll go 5-5, which would mean 9-8, which I think would be a real win. I think they're not going to make the playoffs, but I think that would be a heck of an accomplishment considering Rodgers going down after four plays.
Ray?
I tried to be, you know, a homer, and I said 6-4. I can't be as Marty. Marty would be like, you know, 9-1, but no, I'm going 6-4. And it's going to be tough, but I mean, we got to ride this defense. If they can, you know, keep the scores close, I think we can, just like in the Giant game, you know, squeak out a few that we didn't, one or two that we didn't expect.
Right. Well, I'm going to say 6-4 too, so it's 10-7. I'm going to just go through. I think we're going to beat the Chargers. I think we're going to beat the Raiders. Buffalo is a loss. I think Let's see. I think we're going to split with Miami. So that's three. I think we're going to beat the Falcons. I think we're going to beat Washington. And
oh, we're already in the Super Bowl. I can see this.
Nope. And
you sure you want 6-4? Because I
think six
you're probably going to say we're going to beat the Patriots, too.
I'm going to say the Patriots. Is that the fifth or sixth game?
Cleveland game. Cleveland. Wait, what about the Texans? We play the Texans.
Texans, too. You forgot the Texans.
Let me go through it again.
I think they're going to go
Chargers, Vegas, Miami, Atlanta, Houston.
Yeah, you didn't
Washington,
say.
And I think we have 6 or 7 wins. I think, of course, this depends upon injuries and all that stuff, but.
Seven gets us in the playoffs, definitely. Six might as well.
They could do it. They got to start with Monday night, but they could do it. All right, we're going to go right into Marty's 5 points. Okay, before we do the over-unders.
Okay,
Marty's we'll do that. Points. So, Ralph, a little music. Here we go. And not knowing the Chargers that great, but Ralph alluded to this. I want Malik Taylor to have more snaps and Alan Lazard less. Oh. And the reason being, we've been saying that we can't get separation our receivers. I want guys that can get separation, okay? That's number one. Number two, this is my only repeat one of the 5 points, and Ralph alluded to this. I said a couple of weeks ago, put Breece Hall out wide. I want to isolate him on a linebacker, so I want to do that. All right? That's the second one. The third one is I want Ashton Davis on the field. He's been playing at the best level he's been playing since he's been a Jet. I wanted to cut him over the summer, but I would put him like the third linebacker as a spy. I would have him spying this Austin Eckler. So that's the third one. The fourth one is the Chargers are down a receiver. I guess it was Mike Williams. And this Josh Palmer, the backup, he hasn't practiced all week. So this number one pick, Quentin Johnson, might play. With that said, I would blitz. I want to put pressure on Herbert, and I generally don't like blitzing, but I would blitz. And I think that's number four. Number five, they're on the second string center, who's Will Clapp. The first string, Corey Linsley, who actually we wanted a few years ago, he's on the injured reserve. I would stick Quinnen Williams over him like a nose tackle. They're going to end up double or triple teaming him, and that's going to leave it open for our good pass rushers. So those are the five keys to the Jets winning against the Chargers. Ralph, let me have your reaction.
The Malik Taylor thing is interesting because, you know, he did get open deep in on that one play.
He was open another play they showed, too.
Yeah. Go ahead. So I agree with you on that. I'd like to see him more because I'd like to see them throw some deep balls, even if they're intercepted. Just make the other team think about it. And the Breece Hall thing, the more you get the ball in that guy's hands in space, the more chance there's going to be a long play.
How about blitzing?
Huh? Blitzing. Obviously that's not in Salah's DNA. Herbert's a big dude. He's not easy to bring down. So, I always feel like the Jets, you know, they get in these quarterbacks' faces, but they can't finish the job so often that it makes me a little nervous. I think they're going to go with a four-man rush for a while and see how that works. If he's picking them apart, they'll change. But I think as long as the four-man rush is working, I don't think they're going to blitz very much. I don't know what else you had.
Ashton Davis on the field.
Davis. You know, I would like to see him play more safety. For some reason they just feel, obviously he struggled early in his career, but Tony Adams he does some decent things, but he's not been great either. So I wouldn't mind seeing them split some time.
Okay, good. Ray, any reaction from anything I said? If you want to add a sixth or seventh point, feel free.
Well, as far as, I wouldn't mind them blitzing a bit. Just you got to play it by the circumstances and everything. But, if we're getting there with four guys, then they don't need to. And when I say getting there, I don't mean necessarily getting a sack. But if they're pressuring him, getting him out of the pocket, and he's got to do things on the run, then I see him leaving it as is. I'm never going to say don't do something with Breece Hall to get him more touches, but I don't want to see him. I'd like to see him go less out of the shotgun than they do and just keep going under center with Breece Hall or whoever in the background and let him go out that way. It just gives the defense more to think about. There's a lot less to worry about if he's in the shotgun. In my opinion, it's easier for them to, you know, defend from a standpoint of what they might or might not do. But as far as Ashton Davis, you know, I think right now Tony Adams is so iffy that I'd be fine with him going in, like Ralph said, at safety. I wouldn't mind seeing more of him on the field. He seems to be making plays when he's out there. He's a pretty sure tackler. I like that. And what was
Malik Taylor.
Malik Taylor. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Lazard both on there with Wilson, you know, something like that. Throw him, you know, just mix it up, get them all out there. You know, right. You don't have to go with the same guys all the time. But if you got Lazard on one side and Taylor on the other, then Wilson kind of in the slot, I think that would mess teams up a little bit. But I don't know if they've ever practiced anything like that. But get them all out there, you know.
I'd rather have Xavier or Gibson at times rather than Lazard. I want speed on the field. I want to get separated.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will at some point get him a lot more. It's just like with, I was saying, the short passing game. I don't think they think he's ready for it. I mean, you could put him on the outside and just say, go, you know, and he could do that.
Right.
Just fast. Right. You want to just stretch the defense.
Just a quick announcement. And when I said I wanted to blitz more, I had Ralph's man, Quincy Williams, in mind. He's been named the defensive player of the month.
He's had a great month.
AFC, yeah.
AFC for the month of October, which is, I think, well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, he was just been outstanding. Okay, now we're going to go.
As was Morstead, by the way, with the special.
Yes, Morstead got the special.
Did he get that? I figured he would, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to the over-unders with the highlight of Jets Rewind. The first one is Justin Herbert, 270 yards passing. I'll start with Ralph, over under.
I think he's going to go over. I'm a little uncomfortable about this game. And I feel like the Jets defense is going to have a tough time. I hope I'm wrong.
Ray?
Yeah, I had over too. I mean, they throw the ball. He throws the ball so well that even when he's off, they just keep throwing it. I mean, and they've got a good offensive scheme. Even though I question their coach's play calling, I think he makes it all work.
I'm going under. I think the fact that they're down the receiver and the Jets defense is what it is. I think they're going to have him running for his life. So I'm going to say over. Ray, Chargers 24.5 points, over under.
You know, like Ralph, this game always scares me, and they have a good offense. I just think our defense has a knack for starting out slow and then clamping down, and I'm hoping they do it again. And I'm going to say under, but not by a lot.
Okay.
21, or they'll just wash at 24.
Ralph?
Was it over under 24.5 that
was
I said?
24.5?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was thinking 24, but I'm going to say over. 27, I think, right?
Okay. I'm going to go under, which you'll see from my score prediction. I'm going to, again, I think this is going to be a good defensive Jet game. And I'm going to start next to Jets defense, 1.5 picks. I'm going to go under. I don't think, you know, the Jets have 8 interceptions this year. They've dropped 6 sure interceptions in their hand. So yeah. I'm going to go under on that. Ray?
Under. Yeah.
Okay.
No faith in them holding on to the ball.
All right. Ralph?
I'll go under. I think they'll get one, though.
Yeah.
Okay. That's about what I think, too. Jets, D, 3.5 sacks, over or under. Ralph?
I'm going to go over on that.
Okay. Ray?
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say they have about 3, but Herbert's pretty mobile too. So, and he's good on the run. So he could make it hard to get that many.
I'm going to go over. Again, I think the Jets defense is going to rise to the occasion. This is an interesting one. The Jets offensive line, over under 1.5 injuries. Ralph.
I'm going to go under. I think they'll get one.
Okay. I'll go next. I think the tide is turning. I think they're going to get none.
All right.
It'll even out. Ray?
I was going to say the same thing as Ralph. I think one, and we'll stay under.
Okay. And now
they go off the field but come back?
Do we know if Tippmann's playing?
Do visits to the blue tent count?
I'm not sure. You know, it's very gray as far as guys playing. You know, they try to keep it a secret, though I think they have to say it like by
at a certain point
today or something. Yeah. All right, game prediction. I'll start. I think the Jets are going to win on national TV. It's going to be 20-17, and Zach is going to have a game that it's going to be called the Marty Sway game, where he's going to sway me in his corner. So say 20-17. Ray?
Well, I'm going to say 24-21 Jets, but I fear that means we got to actually score and that we hold them down a little more than I think they will, but hopefully 24-21 Jets.
Okay, Ralph?
I just got a bad feeling about this game. I'm going to go 27-17 Chargers. I don't know why. I hope I'm wrong, but it just doesn't feel good to me.
Well, they've pretty well worked us a couple of times. We've played them over the last few years. So.
Right. And I think who's their coach, Staley?
Staley, who's one of the few defensive guys who's hired in the last few years, like Salah. And he's had trouble with their – I guess there have been a lot of complaints about the way he's handled offense.
You know? That's what I hear. I hear he could be
– He likes to go for it on fourth down at the oddest moments.
Right.
I think it's one of the reasons I think Ulbrich will get – interviews, but I don't think he'll get hired because he's a defensive guy. And I just think very few of them get hired unless they're like outrageous. And I don't think Ulbrich's quite in that level yet.
Okay. There you go. So we're going to close it out. Any other?
Oh, trivia question.
Oh, right. The trivia question. Ralph, repeat that.
In the Jets' history, what team have they played in postseason more than any other team? They've played them four times.
I'm going to guess the Raiders.
What about you, Ray?
I had it between the Raiders and the Pats. I'll go with the Pats since he said Raiders.
It is the Raiders, Marty. Yeah. And the four games, of course, we know the number one was the championship game.
Yeah.
The second one was a great game, too. It was in 1981 or 80, when they beat him in Oakland, 17-14. Mm-hmm. Actually, they were in L.A. at that time.
Yeah.
And then they lost back-to-back in the early 01 and 02.
That was with Gruden.
Patriots, they played three times, Ray.
Right.
I was sure of three on both of them, and I was trying to remember the fourth on the Raiders, but I couldn't.
I forgot about the one with Vinny Testaverde, which was the year before the Pennington one that they got.
Yeah. Right. What about the Chiefs, twice?
Twice the Chiefs, yeah.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, just the last playoff game they played against them.
Oh, God.
You want another trivia question? Who's the team that they've beaten the most in postseason? They're 3-for-3 against them.
Not the Patriots, is it?
No.
Maybe they didn't play three times.
We lost the Patriots a couple times. Hang on. Let me think for a sec here.
Can't be San Diego.
Yes,
they're 2-0 against San Diego.
2-0, okay. I was going to say, yes, it is. They haven't lost to them.
You're going to love this one.
Can't be Buffalo, Miami. I give up.
It's the Colts.
Oh, there you go.
How about that, huh?
That's a great question.
As Joe Frazier would say, how about that?
How about that, yeah. All right, we're gonna close this out for Ray Clifford in the Buckeye State, Ralph Scherega in the 5-gallon hat state, and I'm in the Empire State.
Yeah, with recessions, went down to 10 gallons.
Enjoy the L.A. Chargers at the Jets, and please, if you tailgate, please drive safely on the way home and have a designated driver. This is Marty Shupak. Until next time.